chapter 4. We're going to dive into there. I just want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the lead pastors here. My name is Jeff Chavez. Pastor Mike and his wife Debbie, along with about 10 others, are away this Sunday doing an immersion weekend called Live, a Live experience. And it's all about untangling, discovering, identifying, and putting a plan in action to walk with greater intimacy, greater understanding of how God has uniquely gifted you, how he wants to take those points of brokenness and attacks of the enemy and turn them around and truly be the God of goodness. And so they're away this weekend at a home. Actually, I think it's Pastor Mike's home. But if you've never been a part of one of our Live experiences, I would love for you to find out more about it by asking me next Sunday morning. We usually do testimonies of those people that have wandered into that encounter. I know some of you have gone through it and you walk away going, I didn't know what I was getting into. And I still don't know how to describe what I experienced, but God is good. Amen. Amen. We want to bless them and just acknowledge them. Also in your bulletin, one of the things that we love doing around here is praying for our missionaries and praying for other local churches. And so this week we're praying for House of Faith, Pastor Greg and his wife, along with some close missionary friends of ours, Horace and Phyllis Lester, who are in Eldoret, Kenya. And then sitting over here, Roy and Debbie are back. Killian, they take the month with their ministry, Eden Song, and they go to Africa. And so they've just returned. But would you bow your hearts with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've already encountered. We thank you for the blessing that we've experienced today. But Lord, the greater blessing is that we take this blessing and we give it away. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our local churches. And this week, Lord, we just lift up House of Faith and Pastor Greg and his family and the ministry over there. Father, we thank you for Horace and Phyllis Lester and their family ministering in Eldoret, Kenya to children and families and the restoration of family. Lord, we thank you for Deb and Roy who have returned and are carrying revelation and truth and insight about the missionary field and what God is doing, not just here in the local church, but Lord, all over the world through your love, Father. And Lord, we do. We thank you for this house. We thank you for our leaders. We thank you for our pastors. And we do pray for Pastor Mike and his wife and that team that is at that Live experience this weekend. That is truly revolutionary in their life. It brings revelation and freedom in areas that, Lord, are going to benefit not only their life, but generations to come, because it is the gospel of truth that is being preached. Amen? Amen. A few weeks ago, I introduced this thought, and I'm just camped out on this. This is a personal life goal of mine, is to walk with a mindset like Jesus. But the only way we can get that mindset is if we spend time with Jesus, right? The only way that we're going to know what he wants, what he believed to be true and came in the name of truth, is by spending time with him and in his word and in his presence. And can I just encourage you, there is no greater place than the presence of the Lord. But how many of you know that the presence of the Lord isn't just here on Sunday mornings from 10 to 11:30? Come on, that would be a huge deceiving lie if we believe that. And yet, so often, we actually practice that actual truth. We come in on a Sunday morning and go, Lord, I really hope you speak to me. Lord, I really hope that worship leader's on. I really hope the word is right on. I really hope that greeter greets me. I really hope that decree we're making of offering and blessing and breakthrough, that I experience that today. But how many of you also know that if that's our focus, if that's our intentional thought process, that we could actually miss out on what God is doing in the room? See, we gather here as Echo Hills Church, not just to receive, but to give to one another. That maybe the thought process that has plagued you about, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you, needs to change to, Lord, whatever you need from me, I'm willing to do. Wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to go. And it's a shift in a mindset. It's a thought process that I want to continue to go after for the rest of my life. Because it's so easy for me, to get tripped up and going, oh Lord, what about right now? Look at all the lack. Look at the news. Look at the despair. Look at the darkness. Lord, look at all these empty seats. Look at all the people that aren't here this morning. Lord, look at my family and get caught up in the absence of what I think God should be doing versus focusing on what, Lord, are you doing? Lord, what are you doing right now that we should just pause and totally be captivated by? And one of the things that we've challenged ourselves, and I say we as in Pastor Mike and myself and our leadership team, is we want it to look different. And we don't want it to look different just for the sake of being different or different is the draw. We have spent the last 500 years as a church that is in the proclamation mode. Martin Luther set a whole new course for us as the body of Christ, and it's been beautiful. But it is actually not the fullness of what God intended the church to look like. We were not supposed to be just a proclamation church. We weren't supposed to just be the Catholic church either. We were supposed to be a church that represents and lives as if heaven is on earth. And that there's more to just proclaiming the gospel. There's more to than just preaching the word. It's actually living the word. So we're going to pause for just a moment and challenge our thought life right now by considering we currently have an air quality status, if you watch the news, that is poor because we have a high pressure system sitting off the coast of Washington that is causing the air circulation to not move through this region, which then affects our sinuses, our health. You know, those that have started burning wood for fireplaces. If you watch the news, you know that Spokane put a ban on all wood burning this week because it's the air is so stagnant and the air quality is so poor. Now, we could look at that and say, it is what it is. Or we could look at it and be a proclamation church that says, Lord, thank you for making me healthy. Thank you for Psalm 103. Thank you for communion. And that's a great thing. And we got that. But if you really heard what Jennifer had to say this morning, she's moved us from just being a proclamation church to a church of power in our proclamation. So your thought life right now, when you think of stagnant air over us, takes you where? I just have to live with it. I'm not going to go outside. I'm going to shoot Flonase up my nose. I'm going to take my whatever sinus medication. Some of us aren't affected by it. Some of us are. But what if our thought life shifted to be, Lord, let's testify and speak to the wind and say, wind, blow through this region. Blow through this region and clean out the air. Send some rain. Now, here's the thing. If you watch the news, Tuesday evening, that high pressure system sitting off the coast of Washington is going to shift and move. It's going to bring down some cooler wind and it's going to cause there to be a breeze. But that is not kingdom. That's just knowledge of, Lord, we see what can happen in the natural. And some of us, we have a faith that says, you know what? Praise God for Tuesday evening and Wednesday when the breeze is going to return and the stagnant air is going to blow out and things are going to be a little bit easier. But why wait on the natural when you and I have been given supernatural power to potentially shift the atmosphere in the spirit and in the natural realm? Now, whether it happens or not, I have no idea. But I don't want to get stuck in a thought life that just puts it on someone else or puts it on a natural reality. That you and I have been given the kingdom of God to steward the earth in such a way that he gets the glory. So whether you choose to join me in my faith right now, as I'm going to pray, or whether you choose to let this thought percolate all week and challenge your own faith, or whether you choose to walk out of here and go, you know what, I just don't have a place for that theology, that's fine. At least I'm provoking thought. Because right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare over the natural atmosphere that there would be a breeze that begins to blow through the Northwest. And that it doesn't have to start on Tuesday, Lord. That it can begin right now and change the air quality. That, Father, we can live in an environment that is just like heaven on earth. Where we breathe freely. And if you take this a little bit further, think of this. If God put you here, specifically in this valley, with the air type of quality of air that we get and the inversion layer that we get because of the nature of our elevation and the nature of our region, if he puts you here, then why not have a thought life that says, then I can live here healthy. I can live here and not be affected by the natural, by the air, by the allergens, by the pollens, by the stagnant air, by the inversion layers. I mean, that's how we pray in our family. Because, Lord, I'm going to pray that you bring the air and the rain and clean it out. But I'm also going to pray that I'm not going to be hindered, that my health isn't going to be affected, that I'm not going to be slowed because all of a sudden I can't breathe or I can't see because my eyes are puffy or I get up with a headache or the migraines or all the effects. Because if you and I truly believe that we are born again believers, that we are a new creation in Christ, that we've stepped into the resurrection power and have taken communion in such a way that all the benefits, all the blessings, That there is no iniquity, that there is no transgression, that there is no disease that can hold us down, then it changes the way we're going to see ourselves and see the world. That is a challenging thought life to maintain. And I will be the first to tell you that I am challenged every single day. And what I'm going to ask you to consider this morning is that you would give other people permission. My wife has permission to call out that stinking thinking. My wife has permission to remind me that my mouth is a gate of praise, and anything that's not praise coming out of it needs to be dealt with. My wife has permission, and I have permission in her life, to build each other up in our most holy faith. But I've given other people permission to come along and build me up, to come along and counsel with me and go, hey, Jeff, where is your mind right now? Because I'm listening to you, and I don't know that it's saturated with the revelation of heaven. I don't know that it's seated on the throne of righteousness where you've been rightfully placed. Really? What is it that you're hearing me say? What is it that my thoughts are revealing about the intents of my heart that I need to keep in check? But where this falls apart, where we miss this if we attempt to do this, is when it's filled with condemnation, when it's filled with judgment or criticism, when it's filled with presumptuous thoughts going, you should know this, Dwayne. Get it together, Dwayne. What are you thinking, Dwayne? You get up and blow that shofar, and then you go and tell me that you're struggling with something? Come on, what kind of Christian life are you truly living? See, that doesn't build us up. And that's just an example. Dwayne's a great and righteous man who has a reality that we all have, and it's the temptation of the enemy. It's a thought life that might not be glorifying Jesus. And so in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, I want you to see this, we were there a few weeks ago, and I'm just relaying this foundation. For the word of God is living and powerful. Say amen.
Amen.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner or a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the New King James Version. Your version might say, if it's NIV, is that, or NLT, is that it discerns the innermost thinking of my being. That the word of God, just stop on that thought right there. The word of God. If you want to know where I'm going to go for like the next 5 to 6 months, it's right here. It's Hebrews 4. Pastor Mike and I and Josh and Jennifer, we're just kind of bouncing around as we figure out our rotation and just understanding. And we're just really laying it before the Lord, just going, Lord, where's the word coming from? Last week, Pastor Mike, again, laid some great foundation, things that we've been laboring over for a year. What does it look like to be the church? What does it look like to have the word of God in our life? What does it look like to come back to what does the kingdom of God look like on the earth as it is in heaven? And he simply said it in three simple phrases that we've just tried to craft and believe it's from the Lord, is that we are going to obey the command of Jesus. We're going to obey the command of Jesus, John 13, 1 John 3, that as I have loved you, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. The second is obey the covenant of Jesus. We just experienced the covenant of Jesus, the blood offering of Jesus's life so that you and I may have new life. We can't do anything in the name of Jesus Christ unless we understand the new covenant. And every covenant requires a commandment. So the commandment is, as I have loved you, love one another. The covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus. And all of that brings us to the ability to fulfill and participate in the prayer of Jesus, John 17. Father, as I am one in you and you are one in me, they are now one in us. That as you shared your glory with me, I have given them my glory. That all the world would know that we are one by the way we love one another, by the way we obey, by the way we understand the command, the covenant, and the prayer. Now, are there a lot of other things we can make it about? Absolutely. But that's the declaration of who we want to be, of what we want to resonate, what we want to join with all of time since the beginning of time when creation was put into motion and God spoke saying, let there be light. There is a resonating echo that has just been going through time, coming through time, resonating in each generation. And it comes back down to this. There is a covenant with God that we are called into. And that covenant has a commandment, and it is love. And that love has an expression and is expressed through our unity. So how do we keep that thought life? How do we maintain the intents of our heart to fulfill those intentional callings of the Lord? It's through the word of God. It's through the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a couple weeks, we'll get into the nature of why the author here divided the soul and the spirit and why we need to practice that and understand that. The nature of our joints and our marrow. But this morning, we're just going to entertain this thought life of our thoughts and intents of the heart, because it's the word of God that's supposed to give us our thoughts and our intents. And if the word of God is not actively present in your life, I'll get to you in a minute, Dean. If the word of God is not actively present in your life, then you don't have something that you can separate the thoughts and intents. You and I need the word of God constantly challenging our thoughts and our intents. That's why the importance of memorizing scripture is so necessary. So necessary, because when those thoughts creep in, we need something to contend against it. When the thought this morning, when we were singing that song, I see a victory. I mean, I was amazed. I was testing myself. I see a victory. My thoughts immediately went to all the places where I don't see victory. Josh gets up. You know, where is the Lord showing you victory? It's like, well, Lord, again, why would my mind immediately go to the places that don't have victory? Because I want victory. Because that's where I need the victory. But if we always focus on the negative or the absence, what do you think we're going to continue to behold? The negative and the absence. So there's this tension, this balance that needs to happen in our thought life where, Lord, I can focus on what is not victorious right now. But as that song shared, and it's scriptural, is that, Lord, you're actually the one that fights for us. And at the end of the story, I am victorious. So even where I don't have victory yet, or where I think I'm supposed to have victory, I can still claim victory. I can have a thought life that comes back to the word of God says. If you want to write this down, Exodus 14:14. Moses is standing before his people, talking about the nature of the Egyptians. And he's saying to them, hey, listen, the Lord is going to fight for us. You just need to keep silent and hold your peace. How many of us realize that sometimes the greatest expression of our victory isn't in our boasting, but it's the ability to stand, be silent, and hold our peace? To have a thought life that is so ingrained that it's now the desire of our life to say, Lord, even when I don't see it, I see it. Even when nobody else is proclaiming it, I can proclaim it. But how many of I mean, stop and think about that statement right there. That's not even true. Nobody else is proclaiming it. Nobody else understands what I've been through. Nobody can relate to me. That is absolutely not true. And at the very least, Jesus can relate. At the very least, Jesus understands. So the absolute language that we have has to be, again, examined in light of the truth. So here we have this thought and this intent life. How important is the condition of our heart when it comes to the thoughts and intents? Well, think of it in this terms, and I gave you this a few weeks ago. How do you kill an apple tree? Not by picking off the fruit, right? Not by just even pruning it or cutting it. You kill that apple tree by uprooting it, by getting it out of the ground, removing its source, removing the place where it can get nutrients and get life. See, some of us do this in our thought life, is we have this thought come in, and like an apple tree, we pick the fruit, that thought of anger, that thought that provoked anger, that thought that provoked bitterness, that thought that provoked judgment, that thought that provoked unworthiness, that thought that provoked comparison. We pick it going, oh Lord, I know I shouldn't think that way. We pick it and we throw it away. And for those of us that are still trying to figure this out, you might be in a place, and we all were there before we were Christians, is we pick that fruit of anger and we eat it. Oh, this feels good. Like, oh yes, revenge is mine. Vengeance is mine. Bitterness, that's how I guard my heart. I use bitterness. I hold people in control. See, that's not kingdom. But what we've also failed to teach in the body of Christ is how to deal with not just the fruit, but the actual root of that issue. So bitterness, anger comes along. We pick the fruit and we feel like, oh, Lord, we dealt with it. Thank you, Lord. I'm free of anger and bitterness. And then another scenario comes along and all of a sudden that anger and that bitterness is back. The fear, the contempt. Like, I thought I dealt with that, Lord. And the thing is that picking the fruit doesn't kill the tree. It just removes it for the season until it bears fruit again. There's an actual process of getting in and uprooting those things. How important is the condition of our heart? Matthew 15:18. I gave you a set of notes this morning that are really meant to be a Bible study. Go and look them up in your quiet time this week. But I'm just going to rattle through these real quick. Matthew 15:18, Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." He says it a little different in Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Some of us need to start listening to what we're saying to reveal the thought and intent of our hearts. Some of us need to stop and begin to put a muzzle or bit in our mouth in order to get the intent of our heart settled with the Lord. Because we're just running rampant with our language and our vocabulary and the way we curse ourselves or the way we curse others or the way we speak things into existence. Oh my gosh, it's going to be another gloomy day. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. The circumstances around us do not have to determine the state of being that we live in. But we will identify and actually bring into existence things that we may not intend to simply because we haven't dealt with the intent of our heart and therefore our thoughts. Pause real quick with me and just consider this. Some of you are visual people. So your thought life is very visual, meaning you see pictures, you recall images. Some of us are auditory people, and so we can hear voices. We can hear the words of others. These are in the thoughts. Some of us are word people, and we can see words. We can visualize words. I've had experiences where like words will come like on a little script or a reader board, just come across, and I'll see the wording. Or I'll pray over some people, and the Lord will show me a word on them. Some of us have a thought life that is very emotional and feeling based. But if we don't recognize the distinctions of how these thoughts come and how these thoughts are exposed and set in us, we might dismiss them. Oh, I don't think that. I don't think about depressing, you know, words of depression don't come along, but I live depressed. I don't think about fear or being fearful, and yet I'm super intimidated or unwilling to take a step of faith. We're singing songs and how easy it is to be distracted. There's kids in the room. The first Sunday of the month is Communion Sunday. We keep kids in the room. And maybe they're a little squirrely. And all of a sudden your thought goes towards kids shouldn't be here. Well, dig a little deeper and ask the question, why am I thinking that? Lord, where in your word does it say remove children? Where in your word does it say children should sit still and be silent? Where in your word did it say parenting was going to be super easy, getting them up in the morning, getting them fed, taking them to church, trying to put on a happy face was what I was called to do, and it was going to be easy? No, if anything, it's the opposite, right? It's the challenge of going, Lord, here's these little guys that just are so energized, so creative. They haven't been shaped by the world yet. They're raw pieces of clay that God wants to shape and mold. And we believe that that shaping and molding requires a greater proximity than just a Sunday school class. It requires a proximity to a larger body of Christ, which then requires us to have a thought life and an intentionality in our heart to go, what can I do to help? And maybe for some of us, the greatest help you could offer is just staying focused on worship, singing songs that they can then hear, because they are sponges. I am humbled every time my kids used to repeat back to me what I didn't think they heard, what I didn't want them to hear, but somehow I let it out of my mouth and they heard it. More and more, I am surprised by the impact of our words. I know our words have power of life and death, but the impact of those words continues to baffle me, especially at a young age, because the imprinting is so, so impactful. So praying the word of God over them. Some of us are capable. We don't have kids with us this morning, but we're capable of maybe coming along, sitting back by the tables, watching them wave their banner. Is there supposed to be a sense of order? Yes, but order in heaven looks really different than I think what order on earth looks like. I think order in heaven has more creativity than some of the creativity we allow to have happen here. Josh got us up and asked us, let's activate our imagination. I remember the first time I sat in one of a church service where this preacher came in and he's like, let's activate your imagination. My first thought was, I got rid of my imagination when I got saved. My imagination is evil. My imagination, it took me to places that I didn't want to go. My imagination got me in trouble. I am not about to imagine anything. Who is this guy? What devil have we welcomed into the church that wants to activate our imagination? What on earth is this guy talking about? And he started to walk us through scripture and about having the mind of Christ and thinking the things of Christ. And I'm like, well, thinking the things of Christ is simple. Just don't think about sin, right? I mean, can it be that simple? But then all of a sudden I realized, man, I think a lot about sin. I think a lot about my hurt and my anger. And all of a sudden now I don't know where to go. I don't know how to generate a different thought without imagination. And all of a sudden, my journey of discovering how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, how the Word of God comes alive, how, again, the visualization of the Word bringing us into freedom to where, yes, we can get wacky and imagine things that aren't kingdom. But at the same time, let's not limit our imagination. Let's not limit the Holy Spirit from showing us. What's it look like for you to walk in freedom? What's it look like for you to be healed? What's it look like for you to share the gospel with someone else and lead them in the salvation prayer? Because some of the reasons why we're not doing things is because we've never imagined ourselves doing it. So look at Proverbs 4 here. Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." All of a sudden, the idea of, Lord, I want to have some creativity in my thinking. I want to begin to ponder, like, what would it look like? What would it be like if I didn't entertain those thoughts anymore? If I didn't have those judgments or that condemning spirit? What would it be like, Lord, if all of a sudden I allowed you to have access to the intents of my heart, to uproot those things that aren't kingdom and bring me into a place where my heart is transformed? That if something comes into my vision, that all of a sudden I'm not overwhelmed by it, but I can see the truth in it. That I know how to take it captive and make it obedient unto Christ. That I know how to remove it in such a manner that it doesn't plague me. It doesn't bring me down. The challenge of understanding how important the condition of our heart is found in our proximity to the Word of God. And understanding that His Word is alive in us. That each of us have been given this treasure. If you want to know what the intent of your heart is really about, start to ask the Lord to show you where your treasure is. Context here of Matthew 6 is simply this. "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor dust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What are you talking about? What kind of conversations are we engaging? What internal thinking are we rehearsing over and over? And how do we change that? We change it by going after the root of where that thought is seated. It's in the nature of our heart. And the nature of our heart is revealed by where our treasure is. See, I believe that you and I, as born-again believers, have no limitations. That there really is this place of experiencing God in such a manner that there's no limitations. Now, I don't know how to defy gravity yet, but I'm going to use wisdom every time I step off. I've tested trying to walk on water and have yet to succeed. But if Jesus could do it, and he did it for a reason, he did it with a purpose, then Lord, what's limiting me? And the answer is yes, my faith. But the Father doesn't respond to me with a condemning sense of your faith is keeping you from experiencing that. His response is an invitation for greater intimacy. Greater revelation, because I'll be honest with you, there have been times I've tried to walk on water simply to say, I walked on water. I get the glory. It's all about me and my faith. And the Lord knows that. In fact, I'm going to tell you that I believe all of creation knows that. And therefore, the water molecules do not hold me up. Oh, really? We'll show you what really we think of that thought. And I just think, but what about sickness? Here's a thought. I'm going to just send you out with a couple thoughts. I'll pray for you and Josh will get up and give you some opportunity to respond in prayer. How low does your bank account have to get before fear kicks in? How low does your bank account have to get before all of a sudden the fear kicks in? See, money's a huge issue, right? And we need to be good stewards. And we need to be wise. And we need to understand what God says about money. But we also need to understand the power of thinking thoughts that perpetuate a false reality. A false reality that would say, you need to provide for yourself. God is letting you down and your bank account is proving it. Your actions aren't speaking loud enough for God to see you as a blessed person and therefore bless you. See, that thought life, and maybe that's not your bondage or your challenge. That's just a little insight into my past, things that I got to guard my heart from. What about your health? Some of us, we've had long-time health issues, and we have prayed the prayers. We've gone to the front of the lines. We've attended the healing conferences. We've let people do the weirdest things over us, anoint us with oil, blow the shofar over us, slap us, you know, put the loincloth around us, or maybe not a loincloth, but, you know, put a cloth, a towel around us, you know, whatever the weird stuff is that we get desperate. Yeah, we get desperate. And so we're willing to try. And yet what happens is that hope deferred sets in. And then the thoughts get wrapped up in, does God really want me healed? Is God a healer? Is God still there? That thought life needs to not just be picked off the tree in the moment and go, Lord, yes, I know you're real. I'll keep moving on. It actually needs to be traced down to the root, that root of insecurity in your faith, that root of uncertainty. Some of us are in this room and we're a little older than we were a couple years ago, and we feel the age. I believed the lie, unfortunately, that when you turn 40, everything starts hurting. Can I just tell you that, like, the day after my 40th birthday, I got out of a chair with a noise. Oh! And then I walked around like, oh, my hips, my elbows. And, I just remember my wife, so gracious, like, get on the exercise bike, Jeff. Go for a walk. Eat healthy. Change your diet. Put that cinnamon roll away. I'm like, that has nothing to do with this. It's, I'm 40. You know, and some of you are going, 40? Geez, that's like an infant. But there was this thought that, oh, at 40, somehow it just, everything starts to ache. And then I sit and listen to these testimonies, because my wife got me on this, of like these 85-year-old ladies sitting around going, I never say I'm tired, because I refuse to let my body believe that it can be tired. I just know how to rest. And so then Jacqueline's like helping me because I gave her permission. Jeff, don't say you're tired. But I am tired. Say you just need to rest. Change the thought life. Take it off the negative. Take it off the absence. Now, am I tired? Yeah, I'm not speaking denial. If you stub your toe, it'll hurt. It's okay for it to hurt. We're not talking about denial theology or denial healing, but we're talking about changing our thought life to begin to focus on what is true. Lord, my treasure is found in you and your presence. And so I want everything to come back to that. Lord, I just need some rest right now. Lord, I just need some help understanding how to be a better steward of my finances. Lord, I really don't know what to do with these kids. So could you just help me be a better parent? Lord, I don't know what to do with the accusations. I don't know what to do with the judgments. I don't know what to do with the coworker. But what I don't want to do is entertain thoughts that you're not a part of. Give place to intentions of the heart that do not reveal your kingdom and your glory. My challenge to you this morning is one, start asking the question, Lord, where is this thought rooted? What lie, what fear, what stronghold have I allowed to go unchecked to give a thought like that? The second thing is, find someone else in your life, whether it's your spouse, if it can be your spouse, whether it can be a friend, whether it can be somebody in a Bible study you're in, but give them permission by explaining to them, I really want to transform my heart, and I want to do it by starting to watch and listen to what's coming out of my mouth. Would you help me? And that's a place of vulnerability. And the third thing is what we heard this morning. The power of testimony is the spirit of prophecy. The prophecy that you and I are supposed to be speaking over each other is all about Jesus. And in Jesus, there's joy. In Jesus, there is hope. In Jesus, there is life. In Jesus, there's salvation. In Jesus, there's redemption. In Jesus, there's grace. In Jesus, there's power. So testify. Challenge the thought life. Take it captive by changing the thought, by reversing it. My wife and I, we iron sharpens iron. But a few years ago, she just was on this journey of joy and thanksgiving. And she gave me this great little insight. And I know she's given it to some of you, and we live by it. But if you're going to think that somebody else is thinking about you, why not have them think the best of you rather than, oh, that person's probably hates me, or that person's got a complaint against me. If you don't know what they're thinking, then why don't you just assume they're thinking the best of you? Why don't you put God's thought in their thoughts? Why don't we take what might not be true, but is temporary, if true, meaning a negative thought towards us, and just put the kingdom on it? Because eventually, every thought will be brought before Jesus Christ. Eventually, every knee will bow. And we will be held accountable for every thought, every word we've spoken. So if it's not present and good, then just make it good. Oh, they love me. They're thinking great things about me. They want me to keep preaching for another hour. They don't want to go home on a Sunday. What kind of thought just went through your head? Yeah. Is he really going to keep going? It changes the way we see people, and it brings us into greater alignment with the way Jesus sees us and wants us to see like he sees. So with that, Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and praise. If you find yourself with thoughts that don't glorify Jesus, and the way you can easily test it is faith, hope, and love. Is it exuding with a faith that reveals Jesus and his greater glory? Is it rooted in a love that truly embraces the commandment of Jesus? As I have loved you, love others. Does it possess the hope that is really going to pull people out of darkness? Because if it doesn't, then chances are that thought needs to be addressed. And that thought needs to be traced down into the root of what's giving it life. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning for your word to come in and separate, discern our thoughts and intents. Discern, Lord, where we allow, help us discern where we allow our thoughts to take us. Father, for the glory that you shared with us, the glory that you gave us, we want to be intentional about testing and discerning our thought life. Testing and discerning the intents of our heart. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, chances are you've at least had some thoughts that would even bring you into this place. Thoughts of curiosity, thoughts of uncertainty, thoughts of wonder, thoughts of mystery. Some of you might even have thoughts of negativity regarding Jesus because you don't know him yet. You haven't encountered him yet. Or you've encountered him through people who haven't truly represented him. And therefore, it's left an impression, an intent, a desire of your heart that might be at war right now with this need for hope, faith, and love. Your mouth is a gateway. And I want to invite you this morning, if it's an issue of salvation, if it's an issue of healing, if it's a need for provision, that you would simply begin to confess, Lord, show me the truth. Show me the truth. Show me the truth about you. Show me the truth about the word. Show me the truth about your kingdom. And for the rest of us who are in relationship with people that are just asking for the truth, let the Holy Spirit speak first. Listen. Be a listener rather than just an answer. Because sometimes what people need is they don't need us just filling them with our theology. They need us to love them. They need us to show them what love really looks like. Because it is the Lord who draws all men unto him. It is the Lord who chooses us. It is the Lord who has promised to fight for us. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity, again, to be sharpened by the word, to have our thoughts changed and transformed. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to thank you for your time this morning. I'm going to invite Josh up. If you're not familiar with who Josh is, he's our healing room director, one of our associate pastors here. He oversees a ministry called Frontline Ministry. He's going to give you just some instructions, some words they're carrying about the ministry team that you'll see come up in a moment to receive prayer, to get prayer. to partner with you. But we've been more intentional about this since we merged and became Echo Hills, because we believe that we need to make space for this type of ministry. We believe in laying hands on one another and praying for one another, but there's something about activating your faith. Jennifer inviting you forward to receive communion, it's an activation of faith. Josh in a moment is going to invite you forward to receive prayer. Listen, if you got to go, you got to go. We understand that. But also at the same time, if there's something that you just want to join with others to, in faith, to partner with you, take advantage of what this frontline ministry team has available. One of the things that you're going to hear Josh share in a minute is, you know, we get words of knowledge. God speaks to us about specific areas that he wants to minister into. And if you know Josh, or if you've ever heard Josh, if God is saying, hey, if there's anybody here that has a sore elbow or tendonitis in their elbow and you need healing, come on down. But your elbow is close to your knee, still come down. You know, it's in the same area.